Joe's taking a day, so I'm preaching. He deserves a day off every once in a while, amen? So I'll just take off my music hat, put on my preaching hat. Probably won't do that again, both in the same at time. It was a little stressful, but praise God. I'm going to pull it off in the name of Jesus. Joe asked me, because the series is empty, and he asked me which one I wanted to speak on, and when he told me empty relationships, I was like, oh yeah, for I am a student of empty and broken relationships. Put in a lot of work in my days, just being in one dysfunctional relationship after another, you know, and we're a life recovery church here at His Place, and we're all recovering from different things. Some, you know, recovering drug addicts, some recovering alcoholics, some are recovering from codependency, some are just recovering from life in general. But one thing that we can all find middle ground on is we're all recovering from some kind of broken and empty relationship that's affected us in our life. Parents, siblings, ex-wife, ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, children. How about other Christians? How about the human race in general? And how about the relationship with yourself? How's that been over the years? You see, we all, at some point, have been damaged by a relationship in our life. And that bent us in a certain way. Now, I realize, and we all should realize, that we had a part in it. In every relationship we've been in, we've had a part in it because we were there. So, but what I want to confirm in all of us is, see, the pain that we acquired in a relationship, whether we had something to do with it or not, I mean, I know that in all my relationships, the unhealthy ones, I mean, I wasn't an angel. I was definitely participating in the lying and the cheating and the, you know, being angry and throwing things and breaking things and all that stuff. But see, I was looking out of my eyes. I was perceiving life through me. So the pain that was caused by other people that hurt me, that was mine. Whether I, you know, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever. I just want you to know, right, wrong, or indifferent, your feelings or your pain is yours. So it's valid. But it has bent us in a certain direction, and we carry that with us from relationship to relationship to relationship. You know, I remember the first relationship, painful one, that I can remember. I think I was in like fifth or sixth grade. And I really liked this girl named Amanda. And, you know, I got the phone call. You know what? I like Robbie now. And my life was destroyed. You know, fifth and sixth grade, oh, life is over. Oh, my God. It was a big deal. And, yes, I got over it. Yes, I got into other relationships. But, you see, there was a pattern for me. And I do accept my responsibility in this. But there was still a pattern of girls breaking my heart. And so I grew this distrust for women. Like, ooh, women are bad. They're going to hurt you. And I would take that into my relationships. So I would actually project that onto the girls that, you know, you first meet them, you put your best foot forward. What's up, good looking? You know what I mean? I got it going on. But you can only fake that for so long until the real you comes out and all your baggage. And so I would actually sabotage my relationships because I'll get them before they get me. You know, or if you're going to hurt my feelings, I'm going to get you 10 times worse. And that kind of mentality for me is how I That's how I did relationships. Now, it might sound crazy to you, but it was real to me. And it's like, you don't know that you don't know. You're just doing the best you can with what you have. Amen? I mean, it's not like we got instructions, you know? So, before sin entered the world, we were relationally complete. We were made to be in relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, relational. We have a relational God who created us to have a relationship with Him, and then He created us to have relationships with each other. So we were made to be in relationship. Now, the problem is, again, all the damage that we've gathered along the way, it skews us. It has bent us in a certain direction where we, without even knowing it, consciously, subconsciously, whatever, we're bringing that into the next one. And you know what? God wants to release us from that. God wants to you know what? The more relationally whole and healthy we become, the more we reflect our original image or the image of God. Now, the stuff that I'm going to be talking to you about today is way easier to talk about than it is to apply to your life. I know I've been trying it for a while now, and I have not perfected it. No, I have not. My wife is here in first service. She screamed, "Amen." Preach it, brother. But there's hope. That's what I'm here for today. Just remind us all that there is hope. And it's not because of what we can do or what we can't do. It's who we belong to. It's who lives in us. It's the power of God that lives in us that will give us the ability, because everything that we need for relationships is already available to us. We just have to grab onto it. We have to understand it, and we have to execute it. Amen? And the struggle is real. So Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. See, I'm going to stop there for a second. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We are to have the same mindset. What did he do? Well, he had the ability to use his godness against us, or to manipulate relationships or situations. He was God. He could have done anything, but he chose not to. He chose to humble himself and make himself relationally available with us. So when we have relationships with each other, that's what we're supposed to do. Allow each other to be who we are in all of our brokenness, all of our strengths, all of our good, bad, ugly, all of it. You get to be you, and I get to be me. Now, verse 8 says this. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. See, he humbled himself and was obedient to God, to the Father, even to the death of his flesh, so he could resurrect in the spirit. Amen? That's exactly what's going to happen with us in relationships. Get ready to die, everybody. And it doesn't feel good to die. But the good thing is that the more we die, the more we resurrect in love and Christ. Baby, that's life. That's living an abundant life. So I want to talk about three relationships that that we have today. A relationship with ourselves, a relationship with others, and our relationship with God. See, they have been empty at times. They've been dysfunctional at times. But God, in His magnificence and grace and mercy and love, wants to change that all for us down here. Now, we're never going to get it perfect by any means. And like I said, the things that I talk about today, it's way easier for me to preach this to you, and we can talk about it, and you can hear it and understand it. But when the rubber meets the road, and it comes to time to put this into practice, that's where the struggle is real. But there's hope, and you can do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm hoping to really give you some nuggets to apply, only because I've been applicating these things to my life, and my relationships have gotten better. So I want to share them with you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Because, hey, you think you're dysfunctional? When I said we're a recovery church, we're recovering from different things, well, some of us are recovering from everything. Spin the wheel. I'm recovering from it. That's me. I'll get addicted to anything. So let's talk about the relationship with ourselves. This has at times, or still can be, you know, a pretty volatile relationship if you think about it. Our perception of ourselves has been damaged. Unlike Christ, we usually consider ourselves better than others or worse than others, even though we're all the same. And isn't it hilarious that a broken, flawed human being can judge another one? We actually think we have the right to do that. Whoa, look at that dude. But we do. Or we think we're worse. Wow. You know, like, all those people are really super happy in church. I wish, you know, I just can't, you know, I'm too bad. You know, we look at ourselves in certain ways, and this is because of things that others have said to us since we were kids. You're no good, you're a pain in my butt, da 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 da, you're not gonna make, you're a loser, da 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 da. The things people have said that we, whether you know it or not, some of that stuff has internalized in you. And that stuff that maybe you wish you hadn't done. I know I got some of that. Or maybe the stuff that you wish you had done in your life. How about those hurtful and defeated thoughts and beliefs that rear their ugly heads from time to time? Like, you know, you're driving in your car alone and all of a sudden you're not good enough. You're unlovable. You're all alone. Nobody likes you. Or you're not really a Christian. Why even bother reading the Bible or going to church? You're faking it. These are lies. And whether, you know, whether it's the devil or just our dysfunction or whatever, see, this is the kind of stuff, especially if you're in early recovery, this is the stuff that's going to trigger you. Why even try, loser? Why even try? Just go back to what you know, the chaos and the dysfunction. That was comfortable. That is a lie. And so if and when you start having a horrible conversation with yourself, I want you to do this. And it's going to sound really cliche, like Nancy Reagan's just say no, okay? That didn't work in the 80s. But we have to keep it simple because, like I said, it seems simple, but try to apply it to your life. Then you'll know where the rubber meets the road. So when you start having that conversation, if you can just stop, yeah, you have a choice. When I found out that I had a choice, it blew my mind. I thought I had to live my life totally run by my emotions. And you needed to hear every single thing that I thought. Because it was important. That did not go over so well. And it didn't work for me. We have the right, as God's kids, to stop. Stop. Renew our minds. And step out of that emotion. Step out of that process. Just stop. Step out of it. Because how you feel, that's valid. That's your feelings. You might feel bad. You might feel down. You're feeling rotten. That's yours. But listen, that's not the truth. That's just the way you feel. You can stop and step out of that feeling and into the truth. Well, what's the truth, Chris? The truth is that you were beautifully and wonderfully made. The truth is that God doesn't make mistakes. And you were made for a plan and a purpose in this generation. You're important. You're lovable. You're absolutely wonderful. Because you're God's kid. You're God's creation. And who are we to treat God's kids bad? So if you're treating yourself bad, who are you to do that? You're beautifully, wonderfully made. You're important. You need to, you know, and that's what I say. Oh, we really just stop? Just snap out of it? I told you the struggle is going to be real. It's really not that simple. But if I could just give you like a nugget today where the Holy Spirit would remind you, because nobody else will be around. It's not going to happen today while we're in church worshiping God and woo, high-fiving each other in the name of Jesus. It's going to happen when, you know, Tuesday afternoon, 5 o'clock traffic, whatever. You know, I drive around, you know, when I'm driving some places around Huntington, I'll see certain areas where that'll trigger me. Where I've done some creepy stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, God. Woo! And, you know, like, yeah, you're a dirtbag, dude. And I can buy into that and run with it and destroy my life and agree with that. Or I can stop and go, you know what? I was a creep. But now I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven by Jesus. Therefore, I forgive myself. And I choose right now to step out of that and not engage with that. Because that's a lie. That's my past. And my past doesn't dictate who I am today and where I'm going. In Jesus' name. So, that's the kind of stuff I want to give you today. Like, because it matters. It does matter. When we're alone in these little, you know, little nuggets that we can hold on to, because you know what? The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. He wants to take us out when we're most vulnerable. And trust me, he knows when it happens. But he who is in you, who lives in you, is greater than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit and the power of God that lives in you. He will get you through not only that moment, but your life will begin to, it will begin to just get more healthy because your perception is going to change. You change your perception on yourself and your perception of life will change. Now, Let me read this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. You see, Jesus set you free from you. You have been set free in Jesus' name from you. And even though we're going to sin, and I'm not giving anybody a green light to go sin, because this is the truth. For every bad decision, there's a consequence. For every good decision, there's a blessing in it. So that's a given. But there is no condemnation in Jesus. You can dust yourself off and keep on going and chasing after God. And I would rather live a life that's son conscious. So if I'm constantly thinking about who I belong to instead of just not sinning, I'm way more effective because I know I'm flawed. I know I'm jacked up. I know that I make mistakes. I know that I sin and fall short. But I don't want to let that stop me from doing what God has called me to do. And that's operate and love people right where they're at and build lives and just be effective, because I spent most of my life destroying lives and tearing things down. So I want to spend the rest of my life just building things, building lives, sowing goodness back into this blessing that's called life. Amen? Romans 12, 2 says this. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. So when we do relationships, we don't conform to the pattern of this world. We don't do them like we used to. We need to renew our mind. And wouldn't it be nice if renewing your mind, you only had to do once? I read the Bible. I went to church. I gave my life to Jesus. Woo! My mind is clean. It is renewed. Yeah. It can be a minute-by-minute thing. I can be on a spiritual high 1 minute and totally in the flesh 30 seconds later. Just being honest. But the renewing of the mind means, see, we can take every thought into captivity of Jesus. He gave that authority to us. We can stop when we start going sideways. And we start going down that road, and we know where that road's going. We can stop. We ain't got to ride it all the way out. We were made for a purpose, on purpose. Psalm 139, 13 says this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. See, we're special. In your relationship with yourself, in our relationship with ourselves, we need to allow God. We need to receive grace. Receive the mercy. Receive the forgiveness. And let yourself be blessed. It's okay for things to go good in your life. How about that, right? Just always waiting for that next shoe to drop. Yeah, today was a good day, but you know. Hey. This, every breath that we have here is a blessing. I mean, I know that eternity is going to be incredible, but this matters. Our lives here matter. And God wants to give you a full, abundant life right now, full of love and life and joy and peace and serenity. See, the cars and the houses and all that stuff, that don't mean nothing. He wants you to be free, truly free. So let's talk about relationships with others now. This is going to take a minute. You know, the running joke, right, in church is like, church would be perfect if there was no people in it. And you know what? The truth is that whether we're Christians, non-Christians, it's just, we're all jacked up. Everybody is. And we're all broken in some way, shape, or form. And we will be whole when we're with Jesus, but until then, we just progress. It's not about perfection. It's about just progressing. And we approach relationships with others in our brokenness and engage with others in their brokenness, and then we do the dance of dysfunction. Right? Because they just like this, your sickness and mine, woo! Like a codependent and alcoholic. But look, we're all just doing the best we can with what we have. I'm not saying that because like, there's just no hope. It's like, hey, we're doing the best we can with what we have, but God, in His greatness, has given us directions. So now, how do I change my relationships into healthy ones? You ready for this? It's a huge one. Love. See, I'm not reinventing the wheel here, guys. You know what I'm saying? Love, like I relate to you just exactly how you are, and you relate to me just exactly how I am. Now, we're not going to get along with everybody. That's okay. It's all right. But we are called to love each other. That means I let you be you, and you let me be me. And if that doesn't really jive, that's okay. But you can love me. Amen? So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Let's see what this looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Well, I ruined that one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Got me there too. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres or lasts. It doesn't give up. See, here's the direction. Love never fails, period. If you're ever in question, you never will go wrong with love. Now, again, it's super easy. I mean, like, I know you understand this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I know we all understand that. But we go from spiritual high, spiritually giant, to flesh in a matter of like that. It's we're not perfect. We are flawed. So what can we do to make room for that? Because we could all pretend like we're not gonna, but I'd rather just make preparations for when it happens. I'm gonna keep it real today, folks. I'm gonna get angry. I'm gonna keep record of wrongs at some point again. I don't like that about me, but it happens. Nothing brings out a character defect in you like somebody you love. You know what I'm saying? Bring it right out of you. You know what I'm saying? Me and my wife, we've been married for almost 15 years, and it's like, we don't pretend. You know what I mean? I totally love her, but it, you know, the whole best foot forward thing, I mean, we just come home and we're us. So it's like, I can get angry, I can keep records of wrongs, I can do all this stuff, but here's the thing. I can stop. If I start going there, because I will at some point, I can stop. Renew my mind. Choose to have the mind of Jesus. Step out of my emotions. Whatever happened, right, wrong, indifferent, I don't have to buy into that because I can step out of that emotion and step into the truth. I can step into love. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have boundaries. I don't mean like you got to let people walk all over you. Absolutely not. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean you're a doormat. But if you can draw a boundary and you can do it in love, baby, pull the trigger. If it's kind, necessary, and true, hammer it. Let it go. Blast it. You know what I mean? We can deal with people differently. And the biggest thing is, when I stop and I choose to renew my mind in sense of, this is what I do. I remind myself, when I'm set free from me, then I'm set free from you. When I'm set free from me, I'm set free from you. And for who the Son sets free is free indeed. So Jesus has set me free from myself. I am no longer a slave to my feelings. I'm no longer a slave to my defects. I'm no longer a slave to the sin. I'm a slave to Jesus. So if when I start going there, I can stop. I have a choice. And that's, again, this is where the rubber meets the road, everybody, because you ain't going to feel like it. You're going to feel like you feel. But you can stop. You can stop. Choose to renew your mind. Step into love. And tell yourself, when I'm free from me, then I'm free from them. The only thing we truly have control over, the only thing that we really have control over in our relationships is right here. That's it. Can't control them or what they do. It's like, I can get mad at the duck for quacking. It's annoying. He won't shut up. He keeps quacking, but he's a duck. Duck's gonna quack, Chris Jones. You know what I mean? If I have a problem with that, then I need to deal with that in love. And maybe a little distance from that duck might be a good idea. But see, the duck's a duck. People are people. People are just people. They're not being people at you. They're just people. So 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15 says this. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, Jesus died for us. We died with him. When he resurrected, we resurrected with him. That's why you can remind yourself that dead people don't get offended. Dead people don't burn out on relationships. Dead people don't think what's in it for me because they're dead. You've been resurrected in love now. And maybe that's your little key phrase, I'm dead. Maybe that'll get you through. Because, see, if we buy into that, then we take it with us. We're the one with the issue, not the duck quacking because he's a duck. He doesn't care, or the person. They're just living life. We're the one with the issue. So that's why I'm saying Jesus set you free. When you're free from you, then you're free from me. Amen? So let's talk about the last relationship, and that's the most important one, and that's a relationship with God. How is that going for you? Not in a condemning way at all. But a lot of times we can feel like our relationship with God is empty. And it's not because he's gone anywhere or done anything. It's just because we've shoved him aside. Sometimes, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in life or the blessing. It's so easy because life is a blessing, amen? Even in your struggles, baby, life is a blessing. So it's so easy to get caught up in the blessing and forget about the one who blesses. And that is where when our eyes get off, we get sidetracked, we look at, you know, shiny thing over there. That's where, you know, things can go south. But see, God, in his mercy and his grace, he always leaves the light on and the door's unlocked. You know what I mean? Anytime, anywhere, any day, we can go boldly to his throne and just, you know, like sometimes, like, I'll just stop and realize, you know, I haven't even talked to God in a couple days. I've just been, you know, just been doing life. And I'll just stop. You have a choice. Just stop. I choose to renew my mind right now. And God, you know what? I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the life that you gave me. I know I complain about it sometimes. And I repent of that. But I want to thank you. Thank you for just being, thank you for even choosing to have a relationship with me. I can't believe it, but thank you. You know, it's just times like that where you spend alone with God and get real. Man, there's breakthrough in those moments. God will speak to you in those moments. You will get to know his voice in those moments. You know, my son is like, Dad, that voice, that's your voice. I'm like, no, son. My voice doesn't tell me to do anything good. I know the difference. Yes, brother. So, but, you know, in those moments, because we think that, you know, it's almost like we think that it has this big hurrah, this big to-do. God just wants to do life with us. You could be walking to the bathroom. Hey, Lord, I love you. You know? Just, I'm encouraging us to take time to spend with him. I definitely want to encourage you to get in the Word. Well, I don't like to read. I get it. They got CDs with the Bible on it. They got CDs, and I've said this before, they got CDs where Johnny Cash will read you the Bible. So come on. Who doesn't want Johnny Cash to read him the Bible? That's cool. But just spend time and talk and be with God because he is for you. There is a rejuvenation in our spirit, like a supernatural infilling of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And when all you got to do is ask and choose to stop, renew our minds and choose a different way. Don't do things the same way we've been doing them. Try something different. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel weird. It's going to be hard because you're not going to feel like doing it. You're going to feel like yelling at them. Or you're going to feel like resenting them silently for days. Choose something different. Put on the mind of Christ. And the better we know the one who blesses, the more faith we have in saying yes and amen to those blessings, to those gifts, to those the ability to turn the ship around at a moment's notice, and instead of riding that resent train all the way to the end, we stop and we renew our minds and we choose love instead. Because you see, it's not just about us. God definitely wants you to have a life full of love, joy, and peace, and serenity, happiness. But it's about others too. Because when you renew your mind, when you choose the mind of Jesus, when you choose to do, I'm going to do things different. I'm going to walk in love today. I'm going to be patient. I just caught myself. I was about to get angry, or maybe I'm right in the middle of being angry, but I'm stopping and I'm choosing to walk in love. It affects everybody around you. Then you become a blessing. I really quick took my family to Knott's Berry Farm last weekend, and it was a day I'd planned for my family, and I left second service pretty early, and God is great and his praise all the earth, all the heaven. I'm on a spiritual high. I get home, kids' homework's not done. My wife comes in through the door, from Trader Joe's, and we're not going anywhere until the kids' homework's done. And I'm like, what? I planned this day. See, it was all about me. And the day that I planned for my family. Yeah, that's us. So I'm angry with my wife now, because I'm thinking, you know what? I bet you if your girlfriends were going, then homework wouldn't matter. I'm thinking this stuff. And I know it's ridiculous, and she's right. The homework should get done. But I'm just being real with you. This is what I'm thinking. So I'm just mad. Well, we end up going, and I'm mad all the way driving to Knott's. And I'm about to take these people hostage. I invited you all here today to ruin it at Knott's Berry Farm. But I stopped. Thank God. I just stopped and I realized I need to get free from me right now. Because it was mine. I was the one that was upset. They're just being my, they're not being my family at me. They're just being my family. You know what I mean? And we argue and we do, whatever. We're just a regular family. And so I just stopped and I realized, you know what? Jesus, you set me free from me. I'm going to have a good day today. I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy my family, and whatever's whatever. I'm just going to operate in love right now. And it worked. We had a good day. I didn't take them hostage. I didn't. You know what I mean? It wasn't a fight for 3 days after that horrible day at Knott's. It was a great day. And so I just encourage you all. Let me read something to you. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We are blessed. We have been adopted into the family of love. So at any moment of any day, I want to encourage you to remember to stop, renew your mind, and remember who you belong to. Because when you get set free from you, you get set free from me. And for who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Amen. You remember that? Yeah. Okay. Let me pray for you real quick. Stand up. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your people. I thank you for your word today. God, may we apply it to our lives in all that we do, God. I just speak life over this church. I speak life over the seed that's been planted in us. And God, I just thank you in advance for us progressing in our relationships, looking more and more like you, Jesus, being more and more love in all that we come in contact to. So I thank you for the blessing of life and the blessing of relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Thanks for coming.